Listen, I want to just talk to you today. I'm just going to come down here for a little bit. Got it. Not that old yet. It was about, I think probably about, I don't know, 10 years ago, maybe 11 years ago, I got a phone call from one of the leaders in our church at the time. He said, "Did you hear the news?" And I said, "What news?" He said, "The news about Ted." I go, "Ted who?" So you might remember the story of the pastor in Colorado Springs. His name is Ted Haggard, who was leading an amazing church, huge church, doing small group ministry like I've never seen. Matter of fact, I had gone there with, at the time, one of our leaders in the church, and we had seen what they do, and we actually modeled a lot of what they did, and then we modeled it here. And we had a real season of great success with our small groups. But Ted had been accused of some things. Soliciting drugs was one. Allegation of homosexuality, and was caught with somebody that was part of the solicitation of the drugs and of the homosexual accusation. And as a result of that, it cost him his job, obviously in the church. It cost him his reputation as the head of the National Association of Evangelicals in the nation, huge organization, brilliant man, articulate speaker. You'd look at him and go, "Wow, this guy has just got it all together." I heard that news, and I realize it now, that what we see on the outside isn't always what's mirrored on the inside. And this topic today might be a little bit heavy, but I really feel like in the season we're in, it's going to be important for us to take a serious look on the inside, not just on what we see on the outside. Because if we're going to navigate the future together and we're going to successfully see God do something that's so different than we've ever been before, because listen, we say that, but yet we get so caught up in our ruts and our routines, and it's hard for us to break out of those places to really become all that Christ has called us to be. And if we're going to do that, I think we're going to have to take a look at the dark side of our soul. Because none of us here really want anybody to know the dark places, the nooks and crannies inside of us. We don't really want people to know the attitudes we have or the reactions we have or the quite honestly, the sinful habits we might possess. But it's important for us to recognize that if we create the right environment of a family, then we can confess and repent of those things and walk really well and walk with clean hearts, clean minds, in a position, in a place of absolute security, knowing that our sins have been forgiven, there's nothing that's hindering our walk, and we can continue to go after the things that God's promised. That song that you guys sang this morning to be an anthem for us, an anthem that we lift high up in the air. He will do what he promised he would do. He will fulfill his promises. He will, because they're yes and amen. He doesn't tease us with a promise only to not see it come to pass. He gives us a promise and a word for us to contend for and fight for. And as Selene so well said a few weeks ago, we got to keep striking the ground until we see the promise fulfilled. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 12 says something awfully scary. How many know that sometimes we bypass the scary verses to read the comfortable ones? "Although they fast, I will not listen to their cry." Stop for a moment. That right there alone would just like make you go, "Oh man." "Although they fast, I will not listen to their cry. Though they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Instead, I will destroy them." Ouch. How many would say this morning, "I really don't want to be destroyed"? But how many of you know that there are times, if we're not careful, that the dark places and recesses of our soul can actually destroy us? It can kill us. One of the most emotional things I've gone through in a while as a friend is just a few weeks ago, I was invited to go to a meeting, a gathering. I won't tell you the specifics of it or the details of it, but I'll give you a general thing that happened. I was invited to go to a meeting. I thought it was going to be a small group of four or five of us. But I was invited to go to a meeting where a friend of mine has pastored. And we've been in a relationship for a number of years. I would call him a revivalist, one that loves the presence. And I was invited to go. And I had heard that, well, specifically, I'd heard from this person that he was going to step away from his position as a pastor. But we didn't know why. So we gathered together, and I walked in the room, and I realized it wasn't going to be a small group of four or five people. What it was going to be a group of about 25 to 35 that had gathered. And this individual, this pastor friend of mine, for about 45 minutes began to share in front of the individuals he'd invited, which were close friends. I would imagine some family and others, to share his journey of the dark side of his soul. He shared for 40 minutes about how, as a child, he had been exposed to pornography. And how that particular sin had held him captive from almost all of his adult years. And now, because of a situation that had taken place, it had been exposed, and now he had to step down from his position as a pastor, a leader, walked away from his family of many, many years, and into a future of unknown, into an unknown future. And the reason it was so emotional for me is I begin to realize how good we are at protecting ourselves from others, how we insulate and isolate ourselves from truly confessing and repenting of things that are inside of us. It's not that probably this individual had never confessed it. I mean, no, we've confessed sins before, but they still have a tendency sometimes to come back, and we allow it to come back, and sometimes it comes back even worse than before. It's not that confession doesn't work, but sometimes confession isn't enough. It is with the Father, right, to keep our hearts pure, but sometimes the confession part doesn't keep us from engaging the sinful behavior again. Because to be honest with you, a lot of us like those particular things that no one knows about us, we like it. We hold on to it because it's become a friend to us. I know this is heavy, but I think it has to be, because we can't continue as Christ followers to function with things in our lives that can potentially rob us of all the promises that God's given to us. His promises are yes and amen, right? I know that. But there are dark places of our soul that only we know what's in there. I did a message many years ago called "What's Hiding Under Your Bed?" Right? And part of that message was many years ago when we were in youth ministry and we were doing this camp, summer camp, winter camp, I don't remember what it was, but we had a group of people that would go from cabin to cabin to cabin and check out and make sure that the students were, you know, keeping the rooms clean and, you know, da-da-da. And one particular cabin with one of our, it was a guy's cabin, they were just kind of walking through and they found some drug paraphernalia. Of course, that doesn't sit real well when you're trying to keep a camp pure from drugs and alcohol and all that kind of stuff. So we did what every good youth pastor would do. We pulled him into a cabin, we put a light over his head, and we did an interrogation. Where did you get the drugs? We're doing like this, you know, detective thing. Like, I would never do that today, but back then it worked. And he began to confess his life. Begin to tell us things that we probably didn't want to know. But he began to tell us why. Remember this? Began to tell us why he was doing what he did. And he basically said, not basically, he said, my mom and, he goes, what do you expect from me? My mom and dad are hypocrites. He said, every Sunday they sit in church. They serve on the school board. At times they've been on the church board. So what do you expect when I know for a fact underneath their bed is hidden many, many, many CDs, movies, that's back then, movies, that are pornography, pornographic in nature. They watch them together. Well, that's healthy. Of course, I had to go back and tell my pastor, hey, you know, you got a leader that's totally engaging in pornography. Why did I share that with you? Because it was hiding under their bed. We do hide things, guys. So let me just share a few things with you this morning. I think God wants to stir us up a little bit, right? I'm not telling you today that you need to leave and go, oh my God, they're gonna put a light over my head and interrogate me until I confess all my sins. No, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that the Father knows everything about us. We're not hiding anything. We're really walking in a measure of deceit, some of us, because we're not willing to let the light of Christ enter into that dark place and shed the light on it, expose it, so that it no longer can do its damage. My friend that confessed for 45 minutes in front of us, I would imagine that there's still stuff that has to be dealt with. It's probably not everything that I thought it was. It's probably gonna be more than that. But once it's all exposed, I promise you something. His walk with Jesus, the Father heart of God, will be like never before found in his life. Never. Because there won't be anything that's an anchor in his life holding him back and keeping him from being the son that he desires to be. To be sons and daughters, we've got to be willing to follow the Father to the degree that when he speaks to us about a part of our life, we're willing to confess it and get rid of it. I don't think we have to walk in every day. We have to walk in repentance all the time. But I think we need to be willing to repent of our sinful ways more than we get talked to from pulpits across America right now. You never hear about repentance any longer. We hear very rarely about, you know, confession. What does the Lord require of us? Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says these words. The Lord has told us what is good. What he requires of us is this. To do what is just, to show constant love, and live in a humble fellowship with our God. Another translation, I think it's the New English Translation, says, know, O people, like it's almost a statement like, know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. I can hear that kind of being said that way. He said, and this is what he requires of you, people of God. Do what is right. What does the word right mean here? It's righteousness. What does it ultimately mean to walk in righteousness? So I always heard the sermons, the messages, you got to walk in righteousness and holiness, right? Great, great things. But what is truly righteousness and holiness? Righteousness is to do what is right. Just because everyone's doing it doesn't mean it's right. Matter of fact, I was suggest to you this morning that as the people of God, there are times when we need to draw a line in the sand that says, no, that's not right. I will not cross that line. You know what the church has done in America? We have crossed a lot of lines that I don't think the Lord wanted us to cross into. We've given way too much room for the evil one to come in and mess with the dark places of our soul. It's time to call him out and to say, one of our favorite songs right now from Hillsong, tell the devil, no, not today. I'm done. No, devil, not today. You're not messing with me any longer. There's a right and there's a wrong, friends. There's not much gray that I can find in the Bible, but we sure have found it in the church. I know that this message probably isn't like the most friendly one for non-believers to come into and go, oh, what a great church. I love this. But you know what? Who, as Nancy Becker would say, fraggle cares? It's obviously that when you know, we're not driving people by the droves anyway. Why don't we just teach what the Bible says and just let Jesus be lifted up? Let's just keep preaching Jesus. Let's keep inviting people to Christ. Let's keep inviting them into salvation. Let's keep loving people the way we're known. So it says here, these things, to do what is right. The challenge today, this friend of mine, he did the right thing. The initial reason might not have been the reason that he would have brought to the table. Like, that's not really why I want to bring this out in the open. But because it did, now I choose to be proactive with it. He's doing the right thing because ultimately, whatever loss there was, it'll be gained, I think, maybe 3, 4, 5, 10 times more than if he hadn't. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you probably in this room and people you know that are Christ followers probably are struggling with sin. And it's the dark place of the soul. And it's been a cyclical issue with you for many, many years. And you've chosen, really, truly, you've chosen not to let it come out because you're afraid of the consequences. Well, the ultimate consequence is that we could end up really turning our back on Jesus. We could get so convinced that we're okay that to be able to speak, hear Holy Spirit speak to our heart and say that's not right becomes almost a place where you can't hear his voice any longer. It says to do what is right, righteousness. What is right? Well, if you don't know what's right, you know, I have to say this. Every one of us, I really believe, knows what's truly right and what's wrong. I believe it's inbred in us. I believe we have the DNA of God even from the moment we're born. And I believe with all of my heart that we grow up and culture and family and society kind of begins to form our values. But deep down inside, we know what's right, we know what's wrong. The Word of God says to do what's right. The second thing it says is to love mercy. Somebody tell me what mercy is. What's mercy? Not getting what you deserve, not giving you a break. Bible says the mercies of God are new every month. Once a year. Every day, the Bible says, we are given mercy. They're new every morning. How often do we show mercy to others? How judgmental can we be? Let me give you an example of this. I've been around long enough to know how this works. My friend that was so courageous in sharing his journey, I can promise you that many, many, many of the pastors and leaders that he's been friends with for 30 some years will not call him, will not reach out to him, and will stop being his friend. Forget him. How about the person that confesses alcoholism? Or how about the person that confesses that they stole something? Or how about the person that confesses that they're a liar? Or how about the person that confesses they're a cheat? You know what, how quickly we are to turn our backs on people? Or how about the one we've talked about here before over the years, the teenage girl that comes in our midst that we've known and she gets pregnant? How quickly we are to turn our back on the precious one who now needs to know the Father's love like never before. Oh my God, are you kidding? Well, how dare, really? Oh, by the grace of God, I remember the prayer last week when we're praying for my friend. I remember a guy stood behind him and was praying behind his head right here. I don't know how many people heard it, but he said these words. He said, who of us in this room? Who of us in this room could throw the first stone? Not one in that room could have thrown a stone. When Jesus was ministering to the prostitute, Remember, he bent down in the sand and he started doodling in the sand. No one really knows exactly what he wrote in the sand. All we know is he wrote in the sand and everybody left. Whatever he wrote scared them all off. Like what Micah's trying to say here this morning is it's important that we know this, that we walk in righteousness and to love mercy over judgment. We're so judgmental. How can we ever expect culture to be attracted to Crosspoint Life, which is in love with Jesus? How can we ever expect the students at SDSU, a generation of kids that are right now not embracing the love of God, how can we expect them to ever want our Jesus when we walk as much judgmentalism as anyone else? I told my friend that day, I said, I don't know what it looks like. I don't know how we can do it because Crosspoint has its own financial issues. But somehow, some way, we're going to give you money every month until you get on your feet. We will support you some way, somehow. You guys really do that? Absolutely. That man needs to know that no matter what it looks like, we love him and his family. And when he gets on his feet, we can look back and we put seed into good soil because he's a good man that's going to have a very prosperous future with Jesus. That situation will not define his today and his future. It actually will define it based on his ability now to get rid of it and to cleanse it for once and for all, become the son that he desires to become. The last thing it says is to do what is right, to love mercy, and you ready for this? To walk humbly with our God. And my friend Greg and I this past week were talking a lot about this. And I've mentioned this many times with different ones, but I'm blown away at how many Christians are self-promoters. You talk to them, it's all about them. Look what I've done, look who I am. You know, life, if you'll let it, will knock those things out of you to where you just don't care anymore. You just get to the place where I don't care if anybody really knows who I am. I don't care whether or not they think I'm awesome or they like me. I just really want to walk the way the Father wants. It doesn't mean you can't promote something that God's given to you. I'm not saying that. I'm saying selfish ambition. I'm talking about something that's anti-biblical. I'm talking about something that the Father says, when you think about believers, do we see them walking in humility? Typically, a lot of the people that are up on the platforms in sometimes revival circles, man, we are so good at promoting our stuff. Go get my product in the back table. And I'm not saying that's wrong. Like, they need to make a living. That's a good way to do it, right? Sell the CDs, sell the tapes you've taught on, and some of the, that's awesome. But when it's done with the wrong spirit, and it's promoting the person and not Jesus, then I would suggest to you that we've missed something in the Bible. And ultimately what I think and where I want to go with the conclusion today is this, is that we've got to get to a place where when we are asking the hard questions as sons and daughters, is who are we in private when no one else is looking? We are as a family, we're entering a new season. We have been for a while, but we're not gonna pack this place out just so people come into church because they dig what we do. What we want is when people walk in the door to feel the holiness and the righteousness of God in a place. And you know what? Just because you have a building doesn't mean, or a place like ours, doesn't mean that you feel that. The reason you feel the presence and the power of God is because there's people that seek the face of Jesus and they ask the Father to invade the space, in this way, Crosspoint, invade the space that we're in. And because we're hungry and we're desperate for a move of God, people begin to find this place called Cross Point, and they begin to walk through the doors, and they begin to sense something that they've never sensed before, because people are walking out of righteousness and holiness and hunger. Guys, listen to me. We're not perfect. No one else. I'm not talking about performance. I'm talking about walking in such a place where you're walking, and when God speaks to you, he says something to Jordan, and Jordan, you go, yes, Father, what do you want to tell me? To be so aware of his voice and his presence that when he speaks to you about righteousness, you go, okay, I'm laying the behavior down. We're so afraid of telling people that that's not right. But if you tell somebody that's not right, you better not be doing the same thing you're telling them not to do. I can't tell you how many times someone not here necessarily, but stands behind a pulpit and tells you what you shouldn't do, all the while they're doing the same thing. Beware. If you've got relational equity with somebody and you go to them because you love them so much and you say, listen, Craig, I love you, man. I need to have a conversation with you. I've seen something in your life. I want to have a conversation with you. Because we have equity relationally, I believe Craig will hear that from me. But it won't be because I'm pointing a finger at him, telling him what he shouldn't do, all the while I'm struggling with the same thing. It's got to come out of a humble heart. It's got to come out of a heart that's desperate for the things of God more than the opinion of man. We've got to get back to a place where we preach what needs to be preached and teach what we need to teach, so that we can be the people of God that he can say, I'll use those people. I can trust those people with my presence. I can trust those people with my children. I can trust them with my students. I can trust them with families. I can trust them with money, because we're walking with integrity. We're walking in righteousness and holiness. Holiness is simply wholeness. It's not rules and regulations. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's simply walking in health, walking in contentment, walking as people of God that are willing to obey the word of God and the voice of the Spirit. Let me wrap up this morning by sharing this. I've kind of struggled a little bit with this whole idea of repentance, because I think sometimes we can land there and think that we've got to camp out in this arena called repentance. There's some wrong teaching out there on repentance. Someone might suggest that once you repent, you never have to repent again because you've come to Jesus. Now everything's good, right? But I struggle a little bit with that, because what's repentance truly mean? Just turn it around, change the way you think. So I don't really see, in the purest sense of the word repentance defined, that when the Father speaks to me about something that's not right in my life, and I say, Father, forgive me. Even Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, there was an act of repentance, if you will. Forgive them. I mean, might not be the best analogy, so forget that. But here's the thing. When was the last time you asked God to forgive you of something, to repent of something? And if you're going to repent, don't just do it out of guilt. Forget. Don't even do it. Guilt's not going to work. Shame, all that stuff was nailed to the cross. But when there's genuinely a heart for the Father that says, I really want to please you with my life, he speaks to you and he says, son, daughter, this is something I'm really not super excited about in your life. And he reveals it to us, whether it's through that revealing or, in the case of my friend, it was found out, then you have a choice. Do I become proactive in what's now known, or to continue to reject and deny it? When the Father speaks to your heart, my suggestion would be just to quickly say, Father, forgive me. I'm so sorry for my sin. And to determine to change the way you live. If you need help, that's where family comes in. You run 3,000 people. How many know you can't go to 3,000 people in a family? But I promise you, you're going to have one that you can go to and say, will you pray for me? See, we're so afraid of confessing our sins because then if I confess my sin, now somebody's going to know your sin. That's kind of what confession is. Hello? We're so afraid of people finding our sin out. But it's not like it hasn't been exposed. Jesus already knows. He's just waiting for us to admit it, come into agreement with him about who we are as sons and daughters, and then live in that place. I actually was thinking last week when my friend shared this, that I was thinking to myself, I wonder how many in this room now are going to leave here with a freedom to now go and share their own issues with somebody. Because someone that we love and respect actually had the courage to get up and for 40 minutes tell their story. I know it's heavy, I get it. But when you really think about it, everything in this scripture right here has got a measure of heaviness to it. Meaning this, that if we really live it out and we pursue it and we ask the Father to illuminate to us the places of our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, to illuminate to that soulical part of us that's not lined up with his perfect plan, it can be a little bit heady and a little bit hot, heavy, right? Because it requires action on our part. So I wonder if part of the reason why we're not walking in signs and wonders like we should be, is there some hiccups in our giddy up? Maybe today's a good place for us to start. In the atmosphere of worship that we've been in, Holy Spirit's here, I feel him so strongly. Maybe it's just be perfect for us to take a moment today, to take a deep breath, realize how much Jesus loves us, how much he loves you personally, and just pray a prayer of illumination. God, illuminate to me today those places in my heart that I need to repent of. Some of them might require confession to someone. Some of them might just simply be a confession to the Father, says, here I am, I give it to you. He nails it to the cross, and then you walk out of the tomb, if you will, resurrected life. We don't stay on the cross. We live on this side of the cross. The Bible says in Philippians that we have resurrection power, which means we have authority to overcome sin, death, grave. You do. But not enough of us appropriate the authority we have. So hear Father B's heart today, right? I love you enough to tell you that we can't keep going the same way we've gone. It's time for us to get serious about the call of God, about the vision of this house, about our responsibility to take communities for Jesus and to see the harvest come. I don't want people from Faith Chapel and from Journey and from other churches coming to find our church building necessarily, unless they're hungry. Don't just come because we're the happening thing. I want harvest. I want newbies. I want people to come, and from the moment they come, we begin to raise them up as sons and daughters, teaching them how to walk well with God. It's time to see San Diego transformed by the power of God, right? And I have one last thought for you. It's not going to start with anyone else. It starts with you. Are you ready for this? Are you ready to do something amazing for God? I hope you're catching the gist of my heart today. I don't want you to feel shame, guilt, doubt. That's not what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you that it was heavy, but I was inspired by my friend's confession. When I was thinking about Ted Haggard. Hey, Ted Haggard today, he's pastoring. He's probably freer than he's ever been. I watch some of his podcasts. I kind of like what he has to say. We're not BFFs, but when he walked away from a 10,000 member church, he may have a few hundred people now. Okay, maybe that's part of what, you know, the fallout of what happened to him. I don't know. But this I do know. I bet you if Ted Haggard stood here today and talked to you, you would not stand in judgment of him. You would listen to what he has to say and go, he's truly found something because of what happened to him. And he no longer has an anchor attached to his belt, keeping him from the things of God. He's probably walking in a measure of freedom now he never had when he hid his sexual challenges. Right? So bow your head with me for a moment. And thank you for letting me share this today. But I think we can be better people because of it, right? I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask you to join me in a prayer. Simple prayer. Doesn't require a ton of words. And then I'm just going to pray blessing on you. And then we're going to pray for the offering we're going to take for Convoy today and for hurricane relief. And then we're going to leave and we're going to party today. We're going to go sit in the heat and a couple drops. None of you are going to melt. We're going to die. And we're going to have fellowship as a family. I don't care if it's 10 or who. It doesn't matter. We're going to go and we're going to be family. We're going to sit. We're going to eat. Right? Father, I praise you because you're good all the time. You're not mad at us. You're not angry. You're just good. I thank you for your patience. He's so ridiculously patient with us. I'm probably not far as I should be, and maybe farther than I thought it would be. I don't know. But he's just like, son, yeah, there's some things I probably would like for you to have done that you haven't done yet because you haven't listened to me maybe as well as you should have. But I'm patient. He's patient with us. It's a good thing. So this morning, God, if we just pray a prayer of repentance, listen to me. Sin is sin. Black is black. White is white. There is no degree of variation of sin in the Father's heart. We as a people know that sin is much worse than a lie. But in the eyes of God, sin is sin, period. So don't try to justify our behaviors or the things that we do as being something that's, well, it's not that bad of a sin. Forget the lie of the evil one. Just realize it's just sin. It's missing. It's just not what the Father wants for us. So God, I thank you in advance for what we're about to do because you're a gracious God. Now just, I think what I want to do, I'm going to leave it up to you to pray the prayer, and I'm just going to pray a repentance prayer, and you can just come into agreement with that, okay? But come into agreement yourself. So Father, I just pray that you'd forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for that one or two things, God, that may be hindering us from walking the way that you've called us to walk. See, inside of us, I know, God, you've spoken to us about things that we shouldn't do, but yet we keep doing it because we like it. But Father, may we even give you permission this morning to even fan the flame inside of us in greater measure. Let the flame inside of us become a raging fire that burns all the stuff away that shouldn't belong, doesn't belong. Forgive us, Father, I pray, for our wicked ways. Forgive us for not walking in righteousness. Forgive us for not walking in mercy. And forgive us for not walking humbly. I ask you, Holy Spirit, today, as we leave, to leave a refreshed and hopeful people. In Jesus' name.